those who pretended or displayed the image of Islam and hid within the recesses of their hearts hypocrisy and enmity towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Islam. وَقِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْا قَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَوْ ادْفَعُوا. It was said to the Munafiqeen, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, the Ra'is al-Munafiqeen, the leader of the Munafiqeen, and all his followers, come and support Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in defending the Muslimin and Madinah Munawwara in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Awidfa'u. Awidfa'u means assist and increase the numbers of the Muslims so that it shows and intimidates the army that is being advancing from the Quraysh. And Sayyidina Hassan al-Basri says, وَقَالَ الْحَسَنِ اِدْفَعُوا بِالدُّعَاءِ, that at least assist and make dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum are successful in defending Medina. So the Munafiqeen initially was Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, came out of Medina with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and then turned back. 300 or 400 of them said, well, there's no need for us. We don't think that there's going to be a fight here. قَالُوا لَوْ نَعْلَمُ قِتَالًا لَاتَّبَعْنَاكُمْ. If we knew that there was a fight which was to ensue, لَاتَّبَعْنَاكُمْ, then we would have followed you. But we don't think that there's going to be any war. Knowing very well that the Quraysh have left Makkah with the intention of taking revenge for what they had suffered the previous year in Badr, and knowing that this is a serious matter, on the last moment they deserted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُمْ لِلْكُفْرِ يَوْمَئِذٍ أَقْرَبُ مِنْهُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ, that they on that day, that was the munafiqeen, were closer to disbelief than they were to iman. Even if in normal circumstances they were displaying the image of iman, but on that day the inward and outward were synchronized. They displayed through their actions exactly what they had, what in their hearts. يَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ مَا لَيْسَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ, they uttered with their tongues that which their heart does not have. So they pretended that, no, we are believers, but we don't think that there's going to be any engaging with the enemy, therefore we will leave. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَكْتُمُونَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is concealed within the hearts. الَّذِينَ قَالُوا لِإِخْوَانِهِمْ, they said to their brethren, إِخْوَان is the plural of أَخُن, in Arabic, which means brother. So they said to themselves, and it doesn't necessarily mean a blood brother, but it could mean people of the same thinking, people of the same mindset, and on as brothers. This is why we have إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ, that mu'mineen and believers are brothers, because the mindset is the same, the devotion is the same, the ilah is the same, the rasul that they follow is the same. لَوْ أَطَاعُونَ مَا قُتِلُوا, if these people who followed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to listen to us and come back with us, they would not have died in defending Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ سَيْءُ مُحَمَّدْ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَدْرَأُوا عَنْ أَنفُسِكُمُ الْمَوْتَ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, then repel and push away death from yourselves if you have the ability to do so. When it is the time for you to die, then you see how you defend yourself and push away malakul maut, push away death from yourself, in kuntum sadiqin, if you are speaking the truth. Meaning that if you feel that if they didn't go there, they wouldn't have died, that means the person can defend himself against death if he's not in a dangerous situation. And many times a person is in a dangerous situation and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves him and he can die on his bed. Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu, he said that, I wished to acquire the rank of martyrdom and shahada, and wherever I found an opportunity where it was the most dangerous place to place myself, he would do so and advance in that direction. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had protected him, and he has been given the title of Saifullah, the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the other sahaba would say that if he has been given this title, that is a sign from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he cannot be broken, because nobody can break the sword of Allah. And he passed away on his bed at home. And he said, I am feeling so ashamed and embarrassed that I gave my entire life and I'm dying at home, the way weak people or people who have not dedicated themselves to preserve and protect deen are leaving this world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept death, the death of every person, it has been fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to live our lives in such a way that when death comes, it comes in a condition in which we are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us what is called husnul khitam, husnul khatima. In other words, a noble and a beautiful death. That a person is in the masjid, a person is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that can only happen when we try to spend our lives in that way. A person goes out of his way to ensure that he is in the masjid, he is performing salah, he is displaying good character at home. So if his death comes in any of these moments, it would be most probably in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's no use we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, never enter the masjid, never do any acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then wish that we should die there. The light, it is possible if Allah wants to shower special mercy on an individual, but it's unlikely that a person who spends his 24 hours in disobedience finds a moment of obedience and then Malakul Maut comes at that time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then further in the next verse tells us, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا. Now the munafiqeen, they are lamenting and they are blaming those sahaba who went to defend Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when the Quraysh was attacking them. So these people defending themselves are in the path of Allah. A person who defends his wealth, he defends his family, he defends his honor, and he dies in the process is a martyr in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Do not ever think that those who have passed away in the path of Allah are dead. أَمْوَاتَ. They are not dead. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ. But most certainly they are alive. عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. And they are being sustained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is giving them rizq. So, this is one of the things of ghaib, of the unseen, which we as Muslims bring iman on. The first thing we acknowledge when we start reciting the Quran after Surah Al-Fatiha, we read Alif Lam Mim Dhalika Al-Kitabu La Rayba Fihi Hudan Lil-Muttaqin. That the Quran and the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a means of guidance for the muttaqin, for those who are conscious of Allah. And the first quality and attribute of these people, Allah says, Alladheena yu'minuna bil ghaib. Those people who believe in the unseen. And when they are informed of something by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they bring iman in it wholeheartedly, without any reservation. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Allah says in the 26th juz, the true believers are those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with conviction in Allah and His Rasul. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. And then they don't waver, they don't have any doubt. So the first sign of iman is الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the person who dies defending deen, the person who dies defending his honor, the person who dies defending his family, do not call them dead, but they are alive. So the eye sees that this person has died. But the heart has to be convinced that Allah says he is alive, Allah is the creator of this, of every atom in the body of this individual. Allah says he is alive, we will say he is alive. Yes, according to the system of this dunya, he is passed away, in other words, he is moved away from the normal routine and mundane things attached to the life of this world. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alive, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored him. You see, in deen there are many things which you'll see the instruction of Sharia says one thing, you think, hey, but outwardly looks different. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Wallahi, and he takes an oath and swears by Allah, ma naqasa malum min sadaqah. Wealth does not decrease when you give sadaqah. Now a person has 100 rand, he gives 10 rand. Sadaqah, he puts 50 rand in the box, or he gives a poor person the 100 rand. So he had the 100, but now the 100 is gone. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your wealth does not decrease with sadaqah. So shaitan says, hey, your Rasul said, the wealth doesn't decrease with sadaqah, but you had 100, now you got 90. And this is where our iman comes in to protect us. You have to convince ourselves and we take a qasam and say, Wallahi, that money did not decrease. Yes, the form of the 100 might seem to have been reduced to 90. But that 10 now is an investment in the akhirah. And that 10 is not going to be 10 on the day of qiyamah. It's going to be millions. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a person says, Subhanallah, gharsun fil jannah. Alhamdulillah, gharsun fil jannah. You say Subhanallah once, you planted a tree in Jannah. And that tree now is maintained by the malaika till the day you enter into your Jannah, inshaAllah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the one tree in Jannah, it will take 100 years for an angel to travel from one side to the other side of the shade of one tree in Jannah. So this is why the ulama say when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met Ibrahim alayhi salam in the night of Mi'raj and Isra, he said, "Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, convey my salam to your ummah." And the ulama say when you hear this hadith, it is sunnah to say, "Wa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salam," to reply, to give salam to our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to say, "Na Ibrahim alayhi salam," who convey, he remember us on the night of Mi'raj. He said, "Tell your ummah, anna al-jannata qi'anun." That Jannah, some parts of Jannah are barren. It's open. According to how much you want to plant and invest, it's up to you. A blank check. If we're given a blank check every day, you say, before you go and sleep, you just fill how much you want to fill in that check. People give you free airtime, we jump to catch the airtime. Or they say data, we jump for data bundles. They have a special, what the hosa special, and how dunya jump for the. Is a special. Imagine you got a blank check every day and you are told you fill how much you want to fill. And you want to, if you want to submit and hand the check empty, well, that's your choice. We will fill the amount of zeros that covers the whole check if it was the wealth of dunya. But for deen, we submit, many of us submit those checks. Sometimes we defaulting because that is disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're going to bed without performing our Isha Salah. Or we know that we're not preparing to wake up for Fajr Salah in the morning. So we're going to sleep in a condition of disobedience. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created these things. The hadith says, your wealth doesn't decrease. The Quran says, a person who engages in riba and interest, it will destroy his wealth. You say, hey, but now You gave 100 and you're getting back 110. That 100 has now increased. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't refuse the apparent form of its manifestation in the dunya. Allah didn't say that 100 won't become 110. Allah says that riba will destroy your wealth. So you'll get outwardly 110, you'll get 200, it'll be 100 million even if it may be. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove barakah from it. That will destroy the wealth. The enjoyment that normal people get out of a minimum wage, a millionaire won't get out of his millions. So he'll have the most expensive bed, but he won't be able to sleep. He'll have the most beautiful house, but he won't have comfort therein. He'll have the most beautiful car, but the chauffeur will enjoy the drive. And a poor person who is content and he understands that everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I ensure that whatever I have is halal, even if it be a little. Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says, a person who does a lot of ibadah and acts of worship while indulging in haram is like that person trying to build a structure on the waves of the ocean. كَالْبِنَا عَلَىٰ أَمْوَاجِ الْبِحَارِ. He says, how is it possible? If you put a little bit of sand or cement, it's gone. Every time you put something, it's gone. Similarly is the example of that person who's trying to establish something in his life in deen, but is involved in haram. He's consuming haram. So the strength of a person, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in accordance with the strength of his iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen our iman and give us a tawfiq and ability to understand that these things of ghaib, when we are told something and we say this is haq, even if it doesn't, if I can't understand it. There are many things we can't understand. We know that even in the subjects and the faculties that we delve into this world, if a person is a specialist in science, there might be certain things in other subjects which he's not well versed with. Somebody is a specialist in one field, and there's other things he's not well versed with. So, in the limitations of this world already, there are so many things we can't understand. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us something, our iman demands and requires that we say that this is haq. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, wallahi ma naqasa malum min sadaqah, your wealth will not decrease through sadaqah. So what is your wealth? Wealth is not only money that you have. Wealth is the health Allah has given you. Wealth is the happiness you see in your wife's face and your child's eyes when you wake up in the morning and when you come home from work. That is wealth Allah has given us. So the 10 rand seem to have gone less from the 100 rand. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you barakah in that wealth that He has given you besides that 100 rand. So you're enjoying a meal. What? At any time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can test a person. While you're eating a meal, you can swallow something, you can be injured. There's some difficulty. Before now, you gave that 10 rand of sadaqah. You're sitting on the table. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows you to enjoy the meal. You're smiling with your family. And those who are married, mashallah, they can put a morsel in the mouths of their spouses, which is also sadaqah. And this is going to go home and do it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith that this is sadaqah. To remove something harmful from the way is sadaqah. So this is the conviction of a mu'min. In this verse Allah says that those who have passed away in the path of Allah, those who are defending deen, they're defending their families, they are protecting the honor and of their families and of deen, do not say that they are dead. And in this particular verse, there's also an indication to what the ulama explain is mentioned in hadith about the life of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam in their graves even after they have passed away. They have left this dunya, but Allah has honored them with a special type of life. And this is where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam says, when a person says salam unto him, he replies unto that person, his ruh is present and he is focused towards that individual, and he responds to the salam that has been sent unto him. If a person sends abundant salawat on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if he's far away from Madinah Munawwara, and he says, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first thing is that all his problems will be removed. All his problems will be removed. I was just listening to an Arab sheikh the other day on one clip. He seemed to look young, but he was narrating an incident that happened to him. He says that he was diagnosed with a heart condition and they needed to do emergency bypass. A young man. And he says, well, he had no option. The doctors advised him he had to go this route, and they completed the procedure. After the procedure, he says, I was still recovering and I saw one doctor coming and then looking at my file. He says, and he didn't say anything, but on his face I could see that there's worry. The chap is worried. And eventually they were calling one another, and there were like more than 10 doctors standing around me. He said, I couldn't hear what they were saying, but I could hear the machine by my head was not moving, wasn't sounding right, and their faces. And then the main doctor was a Sudanese professor, came to him and said, Sheikh, you know what, we've discovered that there's some blood clots in your heart and we need to do emergency operation. If that blood doesn't move, then you know it could be very, very dangerous and fatal. So he said, for the first operation, I was brave. I said, no, inshallah, I'm still young, my body is strong. But when this doctor came to me now, he says, this is when I was led. I could see Malakul Maut, it was that now. Yes, yeah. It led me. So he said, I just said the La ilaha illallah Muhammad. I just said the kalima. He says, then a Lebanese nurse who was also assisting, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used her and gave her tawfiq. She came to me, she said, she didn't know he's a sheikh. He's a big imam in the lectures, you know. So she came, and his name is Salih also, by the way. Alhamdulillah, my heart, I think it's fine. Allah keep my heart also. Anyway, so she said to him, Mr. Salih, salli ala al-Nabi. She said, send salawat on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Allah put such an effect in her words, that when she said that, and she's a normal woman, she doesn't know me, she didn't know he's a big sheikh, she's not giving me a lecture. Sincerely, out of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she says, she whispered in my ear, she said, oh, Salih, just send salawat on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said, from my heart, I just said, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad. I just said it once. He said, the next minute, I just hear the machines going back to normal. And all the doctors, they all shocked. He said, that's the time I understood the hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Sayyidina Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, when he told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much of my time must I give salawat? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as much as you want. He said, okay, quarter of my time. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, quarter is good, but if you do more, it's better for you. Then he said, okay, half of my time in salawat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, half is good, but if you do more, it's better. He said, I'll give all my time for salawat. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, then Allah will free you from any type of grief. All grief and difficulty Allah will remove through the barakah of salawat. That's besides the reward of the salawat. The first benefit is if you're in stress and you got some problem, recite salawat. This is why amongst the Arabs it's a commonly known thing. When they're fighting or arguing, they say, Salli ala Nabi. They just recite salawat. Now the guy is angry, but now he has to recite salawat. He must say, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. And that comes everybody. Besides that, the 10 mercies that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends upon a person for reciting salawat. And one mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient to save a person in the difficulty of this dunya as well as in the akhirah. One mercy is more than enough. For the whole world, for the whole of humanity, one rahmah is enough. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam, Allah has given them a special life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Anbiya ahya'un fi quburihim yusallun. The Anbiya alayhi salam are alive in their graves and they perform salah in their graves. In the night of Mi'raj, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I went past the grave of Musa alayhi salam. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he said, وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ فِي قَبْرِهِ يُصَلِّي. And Musa alayhi salam was making salah in his qabr. And salah is an ibadah not of the ruh, it's of the body. That's why in this dunya we have to perform salah with our body and our tongues. The fuqaha and the jurists explain, a person just moves and he doesn't move his tongue, his salah is invalid. We can't imagine the postures of salah and what needs to be recited. It cannot be imagined or thought. It needs to be uttered. Because salah is an amal of the body. So Musa alayhi salam was performing salah in his qabr. And the Anbiya alayhim, in this verse we are told that those who pass away as a shaheed, their rank is lower than the Anbiya. Allah says the shaheed is alive in his grave and Allah is giving him rizq. Allah is giving him rizq and sustaining him. So then those who are higher than the shuhada and the martyrs, the Anbiya alayhim salam, the siddiqin, the Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, their rank is much higher. In the year 80 after Hijrah, the Khalifa in Medina, the governor of Medina, decided that they needed to extend some parts of the Haram of the Masjid of Medina, and the homes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the rooms, some of the walls needed to be demolished so that they could incorporate some part of the houses of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen into the Masjid. So they went close to where the Rawda is of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously, not trying to show any type of disrespect, but try to adjust the wall in such a way that some part could be used in the masjid. So one part of the wall was demolished, and in removing the soil and the foundation of that wall, suddenly a foot was exposed. Ya Allah, the whole of Medina went silent. Everybody thought that now they desecrated the qabr of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They showed disrespect to Rasulullah. Adab will come. And everybody went silent. So, in Medina, this word went around that the wall was demolished and they tried to remove the foundation and a foot was exposed. And which year was this? 80. Right? So, the son of Abdullah bin Umar, his name was Ubaidullah, the grandson of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, he said, let me see what is happening. When he went and he said, let me see, he says, no, this is the foot of my grandfather. He says, look in our family, all our feet is the same. See, the toes also look the same. Then some families, there's some features that resemble, either the fingers or the nose or the toes or the teeth, something resembles. Then they say, these feet are from them. So, similarly, they realized it was the feet of Sayyidina Umar. The ulama say, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he passed away, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, then 2 years and some months, Abu Bakr Siddiq lived and he passed away at the age of 63. Then Sayyidina Umar, his khilafah was another 10 years. And so he passed away after the 20th year of Hijrah. And now in the year 80, his foot is exposed and his foot is intact. That gives testimony to the correctness of the verse that those people who die in the path of Allah. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to make a very strange dua. The Sahaba used to think, what type of dua is this? But for Allah, nothing is difficult. He used to make dua, oh Allah, grant me death as a martyr in your path, but let me die in the city of your beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So normally if a person is going to be fighting and defending deen and he's dying as a martyr, he's going to be out of Medina. So one of the two will happen. Either you die in Medina but you'll die normally, or you die outside Medina and you die as a martyr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that the Persian slave Abu Lu'lu' attacked him in Salatul Fajr and he became shaheed and he passed away with that wounds. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. So this is for the Anbiya alayhimu salam also, and this is for those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored with a high status of martyrdom and shahada. It is not necessary that every shaheed's body is going to be intact. But sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does honor individuals, even if they are not Sahaba and they are not Tabi'een. Even in our time, when I went in December to some of my colleagues in reunion, so we went to the Maqbara because one of my friend's sons passed away. And so They told me, you see that grave, there is a grave of an old lady. She became Muslim when she was young. And she passed away, and they needed to reopen the grave. When they opened her grave, her coffin was still white. After like 50 years, the coffin is still white. And it must be happening here also. The people who work here will perhaps have more knowledge of these type of things. And this is the type of Allah, honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. For certain actions, we don't know what is appreciated and valued by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, Hujjatul Islam, the great Imam of the Shafi'i Madhab also, somebody seen him in a dream after he passed away. And he said, "Oh Imam, how did you fare with your hisab?" He said, "Allah, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven me and promised high stages in Jannah for me." So they thought, is it because of your writings, Ihya Ulumuddin, and all the books and the knowledge that you preserve for the Ummah? He said, "No. One day I was writing, and I dipped my pen into the ink. And when I lifted my hand, a fly came to sit on the tip of the pen. And I thought to myself, I saw the fly is now perhaps thirsty and drinking from the ink." So he said, "I didn't move my hand. I kept my hand motionless, just to allow the fly to have its sip or whatever, and because of that, Allah forgave me."
Allah.
So sometimes, you know, we think it needs to be a big thing. Allah subhanahu, we don't know what is accepted. If a small thing is accepted by Allah, then it's not small. If a small action is maqbool and accepted by Allah, then it's not small. And if a big thing is rejected by Allah, then it's not big. If a person goes for hajj and it's not accepted, then it's not big. And a person gives water to a thirsty dog, like the lady of the Bani Israel, who was known for her evil habit. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah forgave her because she gave water to a thirsty dog. So a small action is not small if Allah accepts it, and a big action is not big if Allah rejects it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our a'mal and give us ikhlas and make it a means of acceptance in this dunya as well as in the akhirah, inshaAllah.